Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back. And, you know, there are those out there for a while, you know, you always hear the saying that nobody's above the law. Well, actually, the law was lawful, comes from God. But the government, but George Soros has proved that if you have enough money, you can skate. In fact, now, he's got warrants for his arrest in several different countries. I know Russia's had a warrant out for his arrest for a long time, okay? There's some other different countries. What are they, John? You remember?
I just can't. No.
Okay, but there were several countries I know that had warrants out. I know that he did.
Oh, yes. Oh, wait, Russia. Russia. Yeah. And then he does have, I mean, India was looking for him. Him and Gates, I get it confused. But he was convicted in France, Pastor Ernie, of stock manipulation.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah. But, I get him and Gates mixed up because there are many countries that have warrants out or they want them prosecuted.
I know Italy has warrants out for Gates' arrest, but you know when you have that kind of money, they have layers and layers of security to make
sure. They're able to bribe so many politicians that protects them. You know?
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, now we got a clip. Let's go to the clip and hear. There's a lot. The evidence is out. They got the goods on George Soros now.
Intelligence documents was just released proving that George Soros and Hillary Clinton's campaign didn't just spread the Russian collusion hoax. They created it from scratch, coordinated it through government agencies, and then sat back and watched as it nearly destroyed a sitting U.S. president. Well, buckle up, because Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley just dropped the classified annex to the Durham report, and the evidence is undeniable and absolutely damning. George Soros was at the center of the Russian collusion hoax. For the first time, we're seeing the raw intelligence that John Durham used in his investigation, and it reads like a political thriller. Now, these aren't rumors or conspiracy theories. These are declassified emails, intelligence reports, and communications that the FBI actually tried to hide in burn bags at their headquarters. Now, here's what the documents reveal. Russian intelligence intercepted emails between a fellow by the name of Leonard Bernardo and DNC chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz. In these communications, they openly discussed their plan to tie President Trump to Russia as a way to distract from Hillary Clinton's email server scandal. One email from Leonard is particularly damning. Quote, Julie says it'll be a long-term affair to demonize Putin and Trump. Now it is good for a post-convention bounce. Later, the FBI will put more oil into the fire.
We've had like 1,000 meetings about this website refresh. I'm not going to be able to get everything straight before the next.
So who is this guy, Leonard Bernardo, that has connections with the FBI? Well, he just so happens to be the senior vice president of George Soros's Open Society Foundations. We now just found the smoking gun that shows unequivocally Soros's Open Society Foundations at the very heart of the Russian collusion hoax, deliberately aimed at overturning a U.S. election by sabotaging a presidency. Now, think about this for a moment. They weren't just planning campaign attacks. They were coordinating with federal law enforcement to amplify their fabricated fraud narrative. The senior vice president of Soros' organization was part and parcel to a federal law enforcement ring that deliberately sought to bring down a duly elected president. But here's where it gets even more sinister. The FBI knew this was all a lie. They knew this was all fake. CIA Director John Brennan personally briefed President Obama about the Clinton campaign's plan to tie Trump to Russia. They had credible intelligence that this was completely manufactured disinformation. It was all fraud. It was all fabrication. But what did they do? What did Obama and his inner ring do? They embraced it. The document dropped by Tulsi Gabbard clearly reveals that officials in the Obama administration deliberately built on, manufactured, and fabricated more intelligence, setting the stage for an unprecedented political hit job on President Trump, which was nothing less than a years-long coup going all the way to the top with Obama and with the intelligence community itself being weaponized for partisan purposes. They lied to FISA courts to spy on Carter Page. They sent undercover agents to infiltrate the Trump campaign. And they launched a multi-year investigation that paralyzed an entire presidency. So the obvious question in all of this is, why does George Soros do this? What drives a billionaire to consistently, ruthlessly, and systematically seek to undermine American democracy? Well, when all is said and done, in a sort of twisted logic, Soros actually believes he's saving democracy by undermining it. It all goes back to the year 1993. That's the year the billionaire financier self-published a paper where he outlined his vision for what he called a, quote, New World Order. Now, for Soros, the New World Order was a globalist liberal international order where institutions like the IMF, the WTO, and the World Bank, along with the elites in D.C., Brussels, and Davos, basically govern the world. The institutions provided the rules and legal protocols that ordered the world, and D.C., Brussels, and Davos provided the overall political and economic paradigms that guided those rules and legal protocols. But for Soros, as he outlines in the article, there was a major problem. There was a major impediment to the full realization of this new world order. And that was the rise of nationalist populist movements that began to take over the world after the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991. Now, in fairness, Soros pointed to the dangers of this encroaching nationalism by citing the war in the Balkans. Soros believed that the tribalist conflicts in the former Yugoslavia couldn't end up engulfing the world. But then something else slowly but surely started to creep into his way of thinking. It wasn't just nationalisms and tribalisms and sovereign states that threatened the world. Soros began to embrace a very real apocalyptic environmentalism as well. So Soros came to see the planet as basically expiring. And only by galvanizing the world's populations into a fully cooperative global community can we hope to overcome this ecological challenge. And this is where Soros's worldview takes a rather sinister turn. If, according to him, What's at stake is the very survival of our planet, then populations simply cannot be allowed to choose the wrong leaders to represent them. I'll say that again because it's so key to Soros' worldview. If what's at stake is the very survival of our planet, then populations cannot be entrusted to choose the right leaders, in this case, to represent them. they can't be allowed to choose the wrong leaders to represent them, most especially populist leaders. If they do, then Soros galvanizes his web of billion-dollar NGOs that in turn actively interfere into the politics of sovereign nations across the planet, precisely to overturn and undo the democratically expressed will of the voters. Soros, when all is said and done, can claim he's a Democrat until he's blue in the face. In reality, he's doing everything he possibly can to orchestrate world events irrespective of voter will and intention.
PSA, never miss out on these 1 to 2 grams of net carb beauties and free shipping, only with Hero Bread. I was tired of searching everywhere for help.
So closing the loop here with these declassified documents and their bombshell revelation, we're now seeing beyond a shadow of a doubt coordination between the Soros Foundation operatives, Clinton campaign officials, DNC leadership, FBI and CIA personnel, and of course complicit legacy media outlets, all creating a self-reinforcing narrative loop. Plant the story hoax, have government agencies, quote, investigate it, leak selective information to a friendly media, then point to media coverage as evidence that the story is real in order to sabotage a presidency that George Soros believes is a threat to the planet. Boom. There it is. That is what we've been witnessing these last 8 years. And George Soros sits at the center of it all, funding the organizations, building the networks, and manipulating the reality that the rest of us have to live in. The declassified Durham Annex proves that what many of us suspected, but really, frankly, couldn't prove with ironclad evidence, that the Russian collusion hoax was a coordinated attack on American democracy orchestrated by foreign billionaires and executed by our own government agencies. We now have that proof. George Soros did not just fund opposition research or negative ads. He helped engineer a multi-year coup attempt against a duly elected sitting U.S. president using the full power of the federal government as his weapon. The question is no longer, did this happen? The documents prove it did. The only question is whether anyone is going to be held accountable here, or whether this is just going to become the new normal for American politics. So here's my question for all of you. If a foreign billionaire can weaponize our own intelligence agencies against a sitting president, do we still have a constitutional republic? Do you think this is it? Is Soros finally going to meet accountability? Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. And as always, make sure you smash that bell and subscribe button and share this with everyone who still believes America should be governed.
All right, John, let me ask you this. Do you think that they're going to get him? I mean, again, like I said, this guy, you know, from what I hear, he says he's never been an American citizen. That he's never been. He has, you know, with his money, he doesn't have to be. But do you think that they're finally going to, that they'll bring him down? What do you think?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I think that they are. Everything I'm looking at it looks real. I mean, it looks like the Attorney General, the FBI, Trump himself. He's got a score to settle with these people, Pastor Ernie. And these are dangerous people that tried to take down a president of the United States coup. So I would say yes, there is a very high probability that they're going to try and take him down.
All right, if they get him, then what about Hillary? You know, it's an interesting thing. Putin had said about Hillary that, again, like you said, that Trump was all out for America. Hillary was all out for sale, but that she was not stable, that it was it would be a very dangerous to have her, you know, with her finger on her nuclear bombs, because she was not a stable person. What do you think?
Yeah, this is if they see, Pastor Ernie, the potential of jail time, and this is big time, if it's treason and all that, whatever power they have left, they may try and use it, Pastor Ernie. This is dangerous, deep waters we're heading into. It has to be done to cleanse the country. But whatever power they have, I think they're going to look to use it best. So we may see an eruption of violence in big ways here.
Well, that's what the deep state's threatening. That's what the left is threatening, that if Obama gets arrested, if Hillary gets arrested, there's going to be a civil war in this country. I don't think so, because, you know, if what they did to the J6ers didn't cause a civil war, and I don't think that the vast majority of people in this country really have a stomach for war. Now, there are those of us who, you know, who said, go ahead, let's get it over with. We're tired of this. We'd rather die on our feet than live on our knees. We hate communism and the Antichrist system, and so we're not going to put up with it. I mean, if it comes to us, we'll take care of it. We'll handle it, okay? But again, I think the vast majority of the people don't have any stomach, but very quickly they'll turn on the left if they see the aggression of the left. What do you think?
I'm agreeing with you 100%. I think out of desperation, whatever power they have here, they're going to try and use it. But every day, they're getting the things Soros is backing and all, it's getting worse and worse and worse for them, Pastor. Worse.
I know.
Just today, I found out that Colorado passed a law where Colorado law enforcement cannot cooperate with the federal government about immigration. So apparently, some local police were cooperating with ICE there to about illegal aliens. So it was found out, and they have been suspended from the job without pay, because they gave the federal government information about illegal aliens in Colorado.
Well, that will turn, but Colorado's going absolutely, they've lost it. I mean, they have really absolutely lost it out there in Colorado.
Yes, Ernie, it seems when they legalized marijuana in Colorado, I don't know how many years ago that was, 10 years ago or so, and a lot of wackos from all over the country went there because of the legalized marijuana and all. The country's been straight downhill since then.
It has been.
But, I mean, not the country, the state.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Now, that won't hold, because that's what that is. I guess that's a violation of federal law, okay? And I think what will happen, Trump can pull all funding from Colorado. He can pull all their funding for doing that. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. It'll be, of course, that's exactly what the left want to do. They want to try to tie Trump up in court. But I think people are getting fed up, more and more fed up with it every day. And so, anyhow, I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to open the phone lines and we'll take some calls at 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. Lisa's got an article. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, this one's by Bob Unruh. A horror story worthy of Edgar Allan Poe or Stephen King has been documented by Lila Rose, the noted pro-life activist who runs Live Action, among other endeavors. It involves two sodomite men who contracted with a surrogate for a baby, but when she needed to deliver early because of a cancer diagnosis, they insisted that their property die, meaning the baby. Two men had hired surrogate Brittany Pearson to create their dream family. By the end of the process, a 25-week-old baby was murdered. While pregnant, Brittany received a breast cancer diagnosis and decided to deliver the baby early at 25 weeks so that she could receive the chemo treatment while giving the child a possible chance at survival. She said her thought was, quote, "I want to keep this baby safe and bring it earthside," unquote. But the purchasing couple didn't want to pay Brittany for a baby born before 38 weeks due to the potential health problems of a premature baby. They demanded the baby be, quote, immediately terminated, in other words, murdered. Surrogacy laws in California gave no rights to Brittany or the baby. She was able to deliver the baby at 25 weeks, but the purchasing couple had, quote, ownership of the child after birth. They ordered that life-saving care be withheld, so the baby boy died shortly after birth.
Now, you know what, John? This country, the people in this country have lost so much respect for God, okay?
Yes.
And if you were to ask them what should happen to the two sodomites and that woman for what they did, most of them will say, well, nothing. Okay, and I really believe that's what you would get the vast majority of the people. God says that they should lose their life, that they
yes.
should die, and unless they repent, burn in hell. And that's what the Word of God, for what they did. This is unbelievable, but we live it in that day here. Where people have, well, the la-la landers, they're clueless. They've lost all respect and they've lost fear of God. And boy, you know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. They've lost all wisdom. All right, well, I'm going to go out to New Jersey and take Bob in New Jersey. You're in the air, Bob.
Hey, Pastor Ronnie. Speaking of Hillary Clinton, I was looking in the newspaper the other day, and they said she was on heavy sedatives during the campaign.
Well,
that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, I don't think she was when she made this that 4.5 minute of total lies. Knew all along that she was looking in there and that she was lying. She's got a drinking problem too.
I remember you were saying she's a witch and she's what is her name?
Drusilla. Drusilla.
Drusilla, like gruesome.
But she
anyway, Pastor, I was always thanks for what you do and have a blessed night.
You too, thanks, Bob. You know, John, we know that Hillary's got an alcohol problem because on several occasions when she threw fits. She threw bottles of booze at people, at her staff and that. And so we know she's got an alcohol problem. But anyhow, let's go out to, well, right here in Ohio. We got Melanie. Hey, Melanie, you're in the air.
Hello. Hello, Pastor Ernie.
Hello.
Hello. I just had a quick comment because I don't know any deep details on any of this. But back to your comments and conversation about the use of power, electricity, water for the AI computers.
Mm-hmm.
We're already dealing with a lot of that problem through the use of the computers needed for cryptocurrency. Those are gigantic consumers of the same entities of the power and the water for cooling. And so I was just thinking, you know, when you and John were talking about all that happening with AI, we're already facing that issue with the crypto stuff. And so you double it, we've really got a big problem.
Well, think about this, Melanie. One dirty bomb. We do not, our grid has never been hardened. You know, Trump,
right,
in his
right.
first term, was in the process of doing that, and it stopped. And so
right.
There are those folks out there that are going to be, well, they're going to be in real trouble, okay? And, of course, I don't know what effect a dirty bomb will have on generators. What do you think, John?
I don't know anything about any of that.
It's not the dirty bomb, Pastor Herney. It's the one that gives off that electronic blast when it goes off, and that's what takes out the electronic system. You know, the dirty bomb won't kill it won't blow up and take a city down, let's say, but it'll allow the radiation in the air and to get into the water, and that will kill the people. But yeah, I mean, one of those EMPs set off and we're back into, you know, 1850.
I don't think that, because they say, you know, within the first the first 6 months, one third of the population of the country would die. I don't think so at all. Okay, I think we can get along without. You know, you can live without electricity. It's not going to be easy, but you can do that. There's a lot of times that people are on, you know, machines, you know, whatever. But the Amish do it all the time. You know, they live without electricity. And so
right, and they're designed for that. You know, they've prepared for that for centuries or for decades. You know, generations. So that's the thing where it would hit those of us who are more dependent on these services. But my greatest fear is, you know, Trump has. I am a Trump supporter, definitely, but I'm concerned about the rapidity with which he's going after trying to make this country the leader in AI, the leader in crypto, and both of these are just such new frontiers, and they are taking a lot of resources from us that we're not prepared to provide. Again, back to the water and electricity, basically.
That's a very legitimate concern, Melanie. I've had the very same thoughts.
Concerning.
Pardon?
It's not being addressed. This is not, the public is not being made aware of this. She's absolutely 100% correct.
And the crypto, you know, they're pushing crypto. I was reading something yesterday about Trump talking about forcing crypto into mortgages. And I'm thinking, I personally have been a stockbroker. I've been, you know, very much in the financial industry, but I don't like it. I don't feel comfortable enough with it yet. It's way too new. And the whole design of that is that it is unregulated. So I'm the last person who wants to have my financial matters directed to me to force me into that kind of a realm. And so I just think all of this is just leaping ahead for the desire to be first without thinking of the consequences, because there are going to be a lot of trickle-down consequences of, for sure, the crypto stuff. But, you know, the AI, I don't even get me started. That scares me to death.
Well, you know, when they control that, they control what you can buy and what you don't buy. And
oh, yeah. We have lost all privacy totally at that point.
Right. And so, you might have a situation where, I don't know, you know, somebody could be convicted of alcoholism or whatever, and then you would not be allowed to buy alcohol, which I think would be a good thing, you know, but...
Right. In the proper venue, yes.
Yeah, that's probably not a real good analogy, but, you know, I mean, what if you get... what if you have a lot of car accidents and they decide you shouldn't be able to buy a car or whatever?
Or even just a nefarious approach towards a certain person, you know, for any reason.
Yeah.
The power is being taken away from us, you know, when we are forced into these systems where it's managed outside of what the average normal person can do.
Yeah.
You know, we can manage our own checking account. We can balance our own checkbook. I know a lot of people don't do that anymore, but still, we have that kind of control to see where things are going, how things are flowing, and so forth. But when it's all done by some computers that are not being really monitored, and that was the whole concept behind crypto, it's a free world. And I find that frightening to think that they're trying to take all of us into that realm.
I totally agree with you. Totally. I went in a couple of weeks back. I went to buy some donuts. I went to a pastry shop. I didn't realize that they didn't actually sell donuts. They just sold all kinds of fancy pastry. But I went in there, and here they would not take cash. They refused to take cash.
Yes.
And I'm hearing that more and more are doing that now.
I know.
And so...
Yeah, well, I make a point wherever I go to use cash, and I know sometimes I get looks like, oh, my gosh, really? But, you know, I always make sure that they know. I appreciate that they allow this, and I've said, hey, you know, this really works when you're trying to manage your budget. It's a great, great way for people to manage their things properly, know what they have, spend it, it's gone, you know, that kind of thing, rather than always swiping credit cards, where you don't always see how much you've built up. So I'm very traditional, very old-fashioned, and also successful because I feel that I have used traditional ways. And when that is taken away from us, we are now the pawns. We are at their mercy. We don't have control over our own situations anymore.
I totally agree. You sound like a very intelligent lady, Melanie.
Well, I've lived a lot of life, and I've learned a lot of lessons.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for calling. I got to move on. The board's all lit. Let's go to Sophia out in Minnesota. Hey, Sophia. Go ahead.
I hope you're doing well. I'm calling. I was listening to some things. I'm from Iran. I just wanted to let you know. I've been trying to see if I can get a hold of you, but I thought I'll call tonight, and it has nothing to do with you guys are talking about. But I wanted to make sure you know this. I come from a family of scientists in Iran, and I wrote a book, The Real Cause of Diseases, you know. And I've traveled, like, all over the world since I was very young. I'm very concerned about the things that are happening. A lot of people are talking about it, but the government keeps saying, oh, it's a conspiracy and all these things. And, you know, they're, like, turning their people's heads away from real stuff to, like, you know, these robotics and things like that that I don't believe in. And, you know what I mean? It seems like they're taking human things away. And they want to bring machines to people's lives, you know. I wrote a book on the real cause of diseases, but that was when I called you. I wanted to let you know that, you know, that you've noticed, like, they're talking about the world's water is drying up and things like that, and all the fires that are really going on. And I don't know if you know this, but I was working with a scientist. He's dead now. His name was Dr. William Croft. If you check on Madison, Wisconsin, if you have time, Croft. And I was working with, we were on radio shows, and I was talking about the stuff they're spraying in the air is the cause of the DNA damage of the earth, you know? And where the places that are really warm, they've become hotter, and all the water is literally getting dehydrated, including the trees. And what they're spraying in the air is literally killing all the trees. And basically, the deer don't have food because deer are supposed to eat the bark of the tree. A lot of people know this. And what's being sprayed in the air, I found that is pathogenic fungi, what you're breathing indoor air, that I wrote a book on. And the real cause of cancer, the real cause of, you know, everything, that is only one thing, and I found out they've known about it in this country for the past 30 presidents. And if I were you, I would have, like, read some books on. One book is by Arnold Mann, M-A-N-N. I've spoken to him. He wrote the book, They're Poisoning Us. And there's another book, The Seed of Deception, S-E-E-D, of Deception. And I think a lot of people have no idea really what's going on, that they want to depopulate people for I don't know how many years. Now, my travels that I have gone to, the places that I have gone to coming from Iran, I've never seen a tree go on fire. And I keep telling people they're intentionally putting trees on fire because what they're spraying in the air is damaging the DNA of the trees. And I tell people, I said the fungi that is on the tree, it's not spore ash or ash spore, all the names they're coming out with. You know, what it is it's a fungi that they sprain it on the air. And I even noticed that it's in other countries too. And even in Eastern Europe, that's what I realized what they're spraying. While the earth is going around and around, the stuff is damaging the whole earth, including the North and South Pole.
Well, we've known for a long time about the chemtrails, and now RFK Jr. has come out, and he's actually doing something about it.
But he doesn't know what they're spraying. That's the thing is, I know. He doesn't know. I've had people think they're like, oh, they're spraying like some kind of a, I don't know, they're coming up with these names. Like, no. Because when I wrote my book and what it happened to me, that's when it dawned on me. I'm religious. And I talked to God, and I said, oh, my God, Father, it's the damage of the mycotoxins in the air. And I wrote a book on, they call it trichocystine mycotoxins. I don't know if you know what it is. It either happens outside or indoor. And I realized what they do is they separate it. If you put mycotoxins, trichocystine mycotoxin, it talks about, like, you know, fungi on the fruit. But then if you put mycotoxins, trichocystine mycotoxins indoor, all of a sudden it changes. This is water-damaged buildings, but it's the same thing. Then I go, oh, my God, I was talking to God. I said, oh, my God, Father. The whole thing is the same thing.
Okay, I'm going to have to, I've got the board all lit up, so I'm going to move on. Why don't you send me your book? Send me your book, okay?
I haven't published it yet. I will send it to you, but I wanted to email you, tell you some stuff. A lot of people don't know what's really going on, I think. And I didn't want to get a hold of, what's his name, I've forgotten his name, Kennedy. And I have to have people say, you need to let him know what's going on. But I don't even know how to even get a hold of him. You know, so anyway, because I wanted him to work with me in Minnesota and then take it nationwide. What's going on? Then take it United Nations.
All righty. You can
send it to you when it's published.
Okay, very good. I have to move on, but send me your book. Let's go to Crystal in San Diego. Let's go to Crystal. You're in the air.
Hi, Pastor. I just wanted to make a comment about something. You were addressing the other day about traffic with a lot of the illegal immigrants having to leave or not be out and about as much as before. And that's really, really true because I'm in Chula Vista, which is 7 miles away from the Mexico border. And I don't see, like, the traffic has cut in half. And I never thought that it was anything but, you know, a lot of people live here and, you know, this is kind of like the traffic, situation in the morning or in the evening, but it's different. It's really, really changed. It's cut by half at least. And we're already in school. So I've seen the difference, literally from like March to even to now, it's really, really decreased.
Oh yeah, I would imagine it absolutely would. You know, when you've shut the border down and you've shut all this, when all these people coming in, but you know, here's I have mixed, you know, emotions on that because, you know, America was built on immigrants, but and I'm not, you know, I'm not, you know, in favor of sending people back that are really in need, but I mean, here Biden brought in on purpose. He brought in on purpose, and I don't think, John, I don't think it was just Biden. I think all of those people that had control there, you know, of his little signature machine. I don't think Biden had any. In fact, he said he didn't even know about half the 8,000 people that he pardoned. But these people that were coming in by the plane loads at night, do you think Biden was aware of all of that?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think that he knew half of his day most of the time at all. I'm more appreciating the fact that, like, Trump is kind of like, the way I think of it, he's like the dad. Like, he's coming home. Everything's getting in order. If you don't like it, too bad. This is how it's going to be. And, you know, everybody who's used to fooling around and getting away with so much stuff all the time, you know, he's cleaning house and he's really needing to put some structure back and some make sense of, you know, how bad it really got.
Well, here's what, on several occasions I've heard Biden say, I'm not supposed to say this, or I'm not supposed to do that, yeah. Okay? Or I could get in trouble, you know. In other words, he was telling you that he's not calling the shots completely, and I think his wife was a big part of that, okay, his handlers, mm-hmm. but But anyhow, very good. I have to move on, Crystal. God bless.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Cliff. Clifford is here from New York.
Yeah, keep it brief. I know you got a lot of calls. Just on that one thing, you just played the clip. The key word was plant information. Now, the fact that was done at that level indicates how people just can't, they have to really sift through information and consider most of it planted, you know, because, you know, like basically anybody could fall with the system based on what happened. You know, it could come from anywhere in the world. If you can plant information as bogus as that, then anybody can plant any information that's bogus. So that's on that. On the chemtrails, it's hard to get a handle on who's doing it, where, and how. And that's an interesting call. There's an audio book that's not available in print called Chemtrails Exposed. It's 22 hours. I've listened to about half of it, and some of it's coming. They cite Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where they're flying the planes out of, and Fort Still, Oklahoma. Are you guys familiar with that?
Yeah, let me tell you what happened. Some years ago, we had a guy here in Ohio. He owned a chemical company, and he was selling chemicals and to the Air Force. And he didn't realize what they were doing with them. And when he found out aluminum chloride was one of the things, and there were several. And here, he called me and he said, you know, this, if these are, they're spraying this in the air, this could have a very, very toxic effect on people. You know, when it comes to that, he said they believe that that aluminum chloride, even the stuff that you were using, like underarm deodorants and that, was could be possibly a major cause, okay, of Alzheimer's. And so here, he asked me to come. They had a big rally right there at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and I went down there to speak. And they set up a podium. I was speaking on a sidewalk about this, and the MPs came out, and they moved me. They said, you can't be on this sidewalk here in front of our building. And they moved me across the street. I mean, I still spoke. But that's where the chemicals were going, and that was back, I would say, in the early 90s we did that. So, all right, what happened? Did he drop? We dropped to Clifford. Let me go out there to Brian in Dallas. Hey, Brian.
Good evening. Good evening, Pastor Sanders. God bless you, and thank you for being on, John. I always enjoy your show.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you, yeah.
You're good. I wanted to mention that about the AI, and now that they announced that they're building another Walmart-sized football field on the other side of Waco, Texas, one of the biggest AI data centers in the world. This is one of the biggest ones this company's ever built. And I wanted to say that with this, the ones that non-followers of Christ, the non-believers, the ones that have turned away from God in the world, will this type of technology and design that they're building, is it designed to tell people that, yes, this is the way to believe, this is the way that everything that we're doing, that people will be doing transactions in society, that your thought process is wrong and that this automated AI technology is illusionally to train you to believe that this is the right way and also create false images and voice commands from people that aren't really coming from them, and part of the revelation where it states that mark of the beast, and where there'll be a false many false prophets, like many data centers being built, because it says in the Bible there's going to be many false prophets to come. And by system of design, it'll be through this AI technology to tell everybody this is the right way. And I just wanted to touch base on that. I know that sounds out there, but it's that's where it's going, and that's part of the design of the AI technology, is to take everybody and the ones that are non-believers, and remember not to accept that mark, because it's going to be done through this. It's going to be done through, as we already know, it's going to be done through technology, and this is part of the design that a lot of people are seeing it. But as we all talk and listen to your program, that's why we must repent and today, because tomorrow is not promised, and at the same time of this design of this technology, it's coming, and as it's coming, we have to be reminded that not to believe in what it's going to tell everybody that it's doing. And then people are going to say, oh, it's good, it's good, it's good. And that's how it talks about the Antichrist in the Bible. It's going to be promised to be good, but at the same time, it's going to lead you down the wrong road because of the way it's direction that it's taken us already.
Well, Brian, here's one of the things, too, that, the opposition loves to kind of broadcast what they're doing in a way sometimes. And, you know, they've done that in ways with, especially with movies, okay, like Soylent Green and things. But here is, you know, when you have this situation with AI and it gets to the point where you have to have a number, your number, before you can remember, before you can buy or sell. The idea will be, that there's not a person that's in charge of this. In other words, when you say, I don't want to take the number, or I can't find, or I'm not getting medical treatment, they'll say, well, it's computerized, it's the computer, it's not us. You know, you can't, you know, it's the computer handles this, so you have to, you just have to comply. Do you see that, John?
Yes. Yeah, Pastor, I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen. Exactly.
Yeah, and
John, real quick, the main thing is that the turning away has already happened in our society. We all see that, the turning away from Christ, and that's why we got to pray tonight, and I'm going to let you guys go, because everybody out there, just don't accept it and continue to turn toward God and keep your focus on God and repent today, because tomorrow is where this is all. These guys that are building all this stuff, they're the ones also that need to turn away from the direction they're going, because they're so drawn into it like a magnet that they can't turn away, because the money's so heavily involved in it, but they're putting money over the love of Christ.
All right, very, very good. Thanks, Brian. In fact, you're right, John. You've got about 5 minutes to tell us. Well, tell the folks how we can call upon the name of the Lord, believe what's in God's Word, the Bible, and everything that's happening today, we were warned of. It's all there. It's all prophesied. And let me tell you, it's AI will not win over UI, the ultimate. There's only one UI, ultimate intelligence, and that's God, and His intelligence is far, 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 far superior in every way to AI. So go ahead, John, and take it away.
Well, thank you, Pastor Ernie. In the book of 1 John, chapter 2, it says that the world shall pass away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abideth forever. So this whole thing, and I every time I get a chance, I like to bring it to our attention. It's important because we're living right now. But in the big scheme of things, in God's time, this is like not even a half a second. But it's important now. But the big thing we got to be anchored into is God's will. And God's will, when Jesus Christ was on earth, after 40 days, he ascended. And the disciples were with him, and he left instructions. And this is the instruction that he left, which carries right over today. It says in Luke 24:47 that repentance and remission of sins. Remission of sins means to do away with the penalty. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So sins, forgiveness of sins, is done in the name of Jesus. And the reason for that is the gospel is that Jesus Christ, the only begotten, the sinless, only begotten Son of God, died on the cross and shed his blood and paid the penalty for our sin. And that his righteousness, he was without sin. He could save us because he was without sin. His righteousness then is imparted into us. It's a trade. He takes our sin, and the Bible says in his body, and then his righteousness is transferred to us. And then it says that he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from bodily rose from the dead with great power. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. And whoever believes in that, but to believe in it, you got to repent. That's the key. Your will has to be engaged to repent, to turn away from sin. And then the Bible also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want to show you a real important scripture from 1 John again. I mentioned 1 John before. But we go to 1 John chapter 5, and it says here, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so if we call on his name, he hears us, folks. If you call on Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what your background is, how terrible it is, how, you know, it could be the worst sinner in the world, God will forgive you. And these things I have written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So you can have assurance according to his word. So the key to it is repentance and confessing sin and believing on Jesus Christ, on the name of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin so that his righteousness is imparted with us and we can have assurance of eternal life with God in heaven. That can be done right now if you're willing to repent. Repent for you to turn to Jesus Christ and his word and say a simple part from prayer from the heart. God, you can in fact you can follow along with me. God, I believe that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, sinless, died on the cross on Calvary, shed his blood, and paid the penalty for my sin. And then his righteousness you transfer into me. And because I have that righteousness of Jesus Christ,
we can be saved. Amen.
Into your heaven.
Amen. John, we're out of time. We're out of time, so we have to say good night.
Good night.
We have to say God bless.
God bless.
And we have to say always, always,
always. Keep
fighting the fight.
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 Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When a trip to see Charlie Kirk and Alan Jackson, the word...
At Hackensack University Medical Center, we make healthy happen for our patients. That's why we're the first hospital in New Jersey's history to be ranked among the top 20 in the nation by U.S. News & World Report and named the number one hospital in the New York, New Jersey metro area. And with 10 specialties ranked among the best in the nation, you'll always find one of the most clinically recognized hospitals in the country, right here in New Jersey, at Hackensack University Medical Center. Visit HackensackMeridianHealth.org/rankings.